Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here. It's the Grapevine on WYSL 1040, 92.1 FM. And last night was open local wine night. There were many in the Finger Lakes that were posting photos of wines that they were, local wines that they were drinking. Some winemakers and wineries are posting about drinking other wines from other wineries in New York State. Some were posting about their own. Some opened some older bottles. One of them in particular opened a very old bottle for the Finger Lakes. And Dan Mitchell from Fox Run, he sent me a photo. I don't know if he actually even posted this. He was testing out this bottle. Didn't have a vintage on it, so you know, non-vintage bottle, but it was a Catawba. The label said Yates County, New York State Catawba Grape Wine. Alcohol 12% by volume. It says selected and bottled by Pen Yan Wine Cellars. Pen Yan. Yates County. And so he said from some research that he did, it was probably about 1973. That's a fairly old bottle of wine. And I thought there was at least a tiny chance that it might be good if it had quite a bit of sugar in it. It clearly wasn't a wine that was made to be aged. It was made to be consumed right away. I mean, it was really unlikely to be any good. And, you know, it is 46 years old. I don't know where he found it. Got to find out from Dan where he found this Yates County Catawba Pink. I love the way they make sure you know it's grape wine. And actually, the label has what are maybe grapes, although it's an odd depiction of grapes. They look more like a bouquet of strawberries. And it's sort of a black and white background of vineyards with this Yates County in a huge script for font. And then this, again, probably grapes, but they're bright red. Again, very strawberry colored. And it's probably not a good thing when the bottle has to tell you it's grape wine as opposed to, I don't know, rhubarb wine. I'm not sure what else they were making back in 1973, but kind of a fun bottle. And so Dan sent me a question whether he should open it or not. And my first thought was, well, it's not going to get any better with more age than 46 years. And on the other hand, it probably can't get much worse than it is at 46 years old. So his last comment to me was down the drain. It was not drinkable, which not surprising at all. But hopefully it'll keep the bottle and it'll be have a fun memory of the at least the graphics and the Catawba was a huge wine. You know, 1973 was before the Farm Wine Act. It was really when the price fell out of grapes. The harvest was at that point. In the mid '70s, it was hard to justify harvesting because you couldn't get enough money for the grapes to pay for the harvesting, much less for the rest of the work, which had already been done and paid for. But if you can't pay for the harvesting, you know, you leave them there. But that actually, if you leave the grapes on the vine, it hurts production the following year. So There were some really, really tough times in our area in the '70s in terms of all the vineyards So at that point, there were only a few wineries. It wasn't until 1976, 1977 that Glenora and Wagner and Heron Hill all opened after the Farm Wine Act. And many other vineyard owners became winemakers after that. And so really that's the most common model out there, even now. Multiple generations of people like, like Hunt Country Vineyards, like seven generations on the farm. And you know, if you wanted to keep your farm and grow grapes, you had to start a winery. So, and fun to see these old bottles. Look for them. You know, even if they're empty, send me a photo of the label. If you run into an old New York State wine bottle, whether it's from Hudson Valley or Northern New York, there were a surprising number of wineries around New York State pre-Prohibition. And if you want to read more about the 1970s in particular, but also back further, Thomas Pilecki has a book called Over a Barrel, the story of Taylor Wine Company. And it's did a ton of research. It is a fascinating look at really the history of wine in New York State, but especially the move to bulk wine and the scale that they were making wine at places like Taylor and Gold Seal. And it's a really kind of a fascinating book, very, very detailed, and it must have done a lot of research. So if you've run into an old bottle of New York State wine, send me a photo, and love to see that. I have to post this one. It really is an odd bunch of grapes, though. Between the color and the design, it's like a bouquet of strawberries are the only thing that comes to mind. The phone number here, 585-346-3000, and the next hour, we're going to talk to Chris Carlson, who has been one of the key people coordinating distilleries to make hand sanitizer, and we'll get a lot more details from him on how that happens, the process of making it, and how it's grown to many distilleries. Started out with one at Black Button, and many other distilleries are now making hand sanitizer here in the Finger Lakes. Also, I saw Duncan Ross from Arrowhead Spring Vineyards posted a photo of hand sanitizer from a Buffalo area distillery. It's going on probably in many regions of the country the distilleries, because of their ability to distill spirits, and you need alcohol for these hand sanitizers, they are well positioned to produce it, but not easy to do, and it's not it's not just alcohol in a bottle. So, a lot more details in the next hour, and hopefully talk to one of the distilleries too. And today in the Democrat and Chronicle, one of their headlines, Monroe County coming off highest single-day jump in coronavirus cases, COVID-19, and they should always, in anywhere in the United States that they announce the number of cases, they should have a tagline right in the headline that says, in spite of very low testing levels. So my plea last week and yesterday and today is that you stay home for another week at least. It's probably going to be two, but I'm taking it week by week, so because I think at the end of this week, we're going to have an even better sense for just how much trouble we're in and how much of an overload. The hospitals are going to have to try to manage as best they can. And the best way to limit that help our friends, our family, our neighbors that work in hospitals, doctors' offices, is to avoid contact with other people right now. And staying 6 feet away, washing hands, that all helps. But it doesn't mean you won't catch the coronavirus. It can be airborne. It can stay in the air longer than they're originally thinking. You need to avoid this as much as possible. Again, take it week by week. Use what you have in your pantry, in your freezer, in your refrigerator. Get creative. Rochester Food Net is posting some articles and ideas and recipes. RochesterFoodNet.com, if you have to get something, try to do it one stop. Try to use something like Instacart or curbside service, try to stay out of the stores, away from people, and we'll have fewer cases that will end up in the hospital. Because about 20% of the cases will end up in the hospital, and we don't have that many beds. So other parts of the world have seen this play out. Right now, it's starting to play out here in New York State, and we are probably, according to Governor Cuomo, and I think he's not being overly pessimistic. He's being fairly realistic in that it's going to be a couple weeks before we see the worst of this, and given the speed in which the number of cases are rising, in spite of no testing, or very little testing, we're going to see a lot of growth of that in the next week in particular. And at that point, I think it will be upsetting enough, the reality of it will be upsetting enough that people will be more willing to stay home a week from now than they are today. Because today, just a couple hundred cases in Monroe County. How bad can that be? There's only been a couple of deaths. We're fine. Except that this incubation period of the coronavirus is like 10 to 14 days. And once you come down with it, you are infectious before you have, or at least often before you have symptoms. So there are people walking around Rochester, around the United States. We're not unique. All over the country who are spreading this disease, but they don't know it. And there are a lot of people out there who have it and don't know it. So that's why you need to be very, very careful washing hands so that you avoid spreading it to other people. If you have it, avoid touching your face. And consider wearing a mask. And again, not so much to protect you, although it probably will a little bit from other people. But in case you have it, you're trying to avoid spreading it, even in your home. This is crucial right now. And you can read about how this is playing out in Italy and Spain. And we're a week behind them, maybe 10 days behind where they are. And we're not doing a better job. We're not better prepared. And that's why this is going to get much worse, I'm afraid. So stay home. Avoid contact with people. I've heard plenty of stories of, friends getting together, catching up, And when you do that, you're putting both family groups or whoever is sort of isolated in place, you're putting both of those groups at risk of transmission. So I know restaurants are doing takeout. I'm afraid I'm not a fan of that. Well, stay home. Make one trip to the grocery store if you don't have food. Get as much food as you can for maybe a week. As I said last week, you know, 7 cans of soup and some frozen meals. You don't need to know how to cook, but stay home. And takeout is, it's, you can argue it's keeping restaurants in business, but unfortunately it's also potentially making this outbreak, this pandemic worse, because the exposure of the employees, they're going out and working, and we need to take a pause for that. And there will be time enough for takeout. We'll probably have to do that for quite a while. But the next week, try to avoid anything and just maybe one stop. And again, where you don't go in the store, you order the groceries online or by phone, and then have them bring them to your car, ideally, maybe to your door. Pay the extra money for delivery, and again, it's as little contact as possible. Many wineries are shipping wine. Many of them are offering great bargains on shipping, some free shipping, some $6 fixed price shipping. And I think the shipping on a case of wine is somewhere around $25 to $32. And so they're basically giving you a bottle or a bottle and a half of wine when you order a case. And really, you know, if you want to support local businesses like the restaurants, again, I would avoid takeout, even though they're offering it right now, and I would get a gift card online and or by phone, but you may have a hard time getting through. The places that are offering takeout are being swamped with people. That was one of the reasons Roebuck stopped offering takeout, because they had too many customers. Too many people wanted to order takeout, and they just, their phone lines, their staffing couldn't handle the volume, and they felt like they were putting their staff at risk because they had to have so many people in the kitchen working on all of these takeout meals. So as I said yesterday, people probably are doing takeout for that night, and when you go to the grocery store, you can get food for a week. That's going to help limit the number of people exposed. So avoid takeout. There are some wineries doing curbside service, but really, you know, instead of going out and getting it, why don't you have them ship it to your door? Whether it's, you know, it's a $6 shipping charge or whether it's free, that will limit the number of contacts. And you know, the more that we're out doing errands, picking up things, the more you think, I could do another errand. I could get that. It's not a big deal. I don't see anyone coughing. You may not, but that doesn't mean people aren't infectious. So that's the sneaky part of this COVID-19. We don't know. So stay home, order things by mail. I was saying on the gardening show, order some seeds from Fruition Seeds. They have some awesome seeds. They're cheap to ship, and you'll get them in a few days, and it'll be the perfect time to plant those seeds. Get them in the ground. I planted a lot yesterday, was out working in the vegetable garden in our backyard, planting lots and lots of seeds, lettuce and spinach and Swiss chard and kale and beets and carrots, a bunch of other things. And so it's too early to plant vegetables, transplants, and things. I would also avoid the garden centers. And, you know, I'm saying this, even though some of our sponsors are open, some of my restaurant sponsors are doing takeout, for another week, avoid going out. And I think if you look around, you know, New York City and around the United States and Italy and Spain, we know a lot more now than we did a week ago when I first was pleading for you to wait a week. And hopefully we know enough now that you realize you really should stay home. And our hospitals are probably not going to be able to handle this volume. It's going to be the next couple of weeks are probably going to be the toughest weeks that medical staffs around the United States have ever faced. You know, there've been some big disasters, whether it's weather or terrorism like 9/11, but those things were localized, and hurricanes and things. You know, vast swaths of the South and, Hurricane Katrina, huge disasters. But there were many other areas around the United States that could help send ambulances and, take patients, send doctors, nurses. And we're at a point where different parts of the United States can't really help each other very much because we are all under the same threat. So it's truly extraordinary, and we need to treat it that way by listening to the doctors and nurses. I would listen to politicians with skepticism, and I would try to find what the doctors and nurses are saying. And generally that is, they're really worried about this. I saw one article, column from a doctor said for the first time in his life, he is, as a doctor, scared for what's coming. Again, by staying home, we can protect them. So order online, and the wineries in particular, right now the tourism season should have been picking up. January and February and March are really, really quiet months in terms of tourism. April, it starts to pick up, and May, it really, there would be a lot of tourists, and with graduations and things happening, lots of special events and a lot of people from outside our area coming into the Finger Lakes and Western New York and visiting wineries, and that's not going to happen this year. The wineries like the restaurants that are doing takeout, they're just trying to survive right now and keep as many employees as they can through some really, really lean times. So your order of New York State wine from a winery will help them, but even more than the monetary value, it's a vote of confidence, it's a vote of support. It lets them know that you're thinking about them and you appreciate them and you like their wine, and maybe you want to send some to a friend. Maybe to family members, we could send some to a neighbor. Very low shipping charges right now on New York State wine in general. If you want some recommendations, what to send, let me know. The winery websites are really good about letting you know which states they ship to. It's not all 50 states. Some of the wineries might ship to 20 or 30 states. maybe 35 states, but there are still states that it's too complicated or too expensive, maybe, for the wineries, which they have to deal with each state separately. Each state has different regulations, different registration fees, and it doesn't make sense for relatively small wineries in New York State to go through all that paperwork and that money for what's a relatively small amount of shipping to, you know, maybe New Mexico. I mean, how many cases of New York wine are shipped to New Mexico? Or tons of other states that are less likely to come here on a vacation, perhaps, than most of the states in the Northeast. So don't get frustrated if you can't find a winery to ship to a state where you have loved ones. I've got kind of a database of that, and I'd be happy to share that with you or see if I can help find a winery that can ship. There are several wineries that work with a third party that helps facilitate shipments to other states. I'm not sure how that works, but I mean, it's legal. It's just another hoop to jump through, and a lot of wineries, I just don't want to deal with that. So there are some states it's hard to ship wine to, but not many. It's, again, a lot of wineries ship to a good part of the United States. And, if you have friends and family that are isolating in place the way we are, or if they're not, they should be, because it's most likely coming to them. They're just behind where we are, like we are behind where Italy and Spain were. Sending a case of wine would be a boost in their spirits, hopefully, and some delicious New York State wine. You can include now some of the 2019 dry rosés. Those are being released by many wineries in New York State. Some sparkling wine, maybe dessert wine, perhaps a few reds, and of course, maybe different styles of Riesling. And a case of wines, 12 bottles, you can send quite an assortment from many wineries, and they're all going to be really good wines. The diversity is really part of the fun of our local wine, the local wines in New York State. Now, if you have comments, questions, you can email me anytime, michael@saverlife.com. You can reach us here, 585-346-3000. 585-346-3000. And if you think this is all overblown and we should be able to go out and do whatever we want and not stay at home, I'm happy to debate that with you. I hope there aren't many people that believe that right now, because they're going to be in for an even bigger shock than those of us that are expecting this. Again, 585-346-3000. We'll take a quick break. Be back afterward from our sponsors on WISL 1040.
I get no kick from champagne. Mere alcohol doesn't thrill me at all. So tell me, why should it be true that I get a kick out of you? I get a kick.
Welcome back. Michael Warren Thomas here, the sponsors of The Grapevine. These are some fantastic people, not just businesses, but local independent businesses. And so you should... you'll have fun when you say hello, maybe when you send him an email, if you call, place an order for some wine to be shipped to you. These are there's some fantastic wineries. Those include Eagle Crest Vineyards, which is right above Hemlock Lake, And this is a historic winery. It goes back to 1872, and Bishop McQuaid founded it to make altar wine, which they continue to produce. But they also do a number of really delicious table wines. And it's just a gorgeous setting with about 7,000 acres of state forest around it, above Hemlock Lake. Go to EagleCrestVineyards.com. You can get details there on shipping. And again, they are one of the oldest wineries in our region, and fantastic Moselle-style Riesling, an oak Chardonnay. And the Moselle-style Riesling is a lower alcohol, so like 8.5%, like much lower. A lot of Rieslings will be 11.5%, maybe 12%, somewhere in that range, just 8.5%. Percent alcohol, semi-dry Riesling, and that's the predominant styles in the Moselle in Germany. And Will Aline has been producing that for quite a few years now at Eagle Crest Vineyards. EagleCrestVineyards.com. Also brought to you by Ristorante Lucano. Get some gift certificates for yourself, for friends, for family. RistoranteLucano.com. It is tremendous Italian food, and they are celebrating their 20th anniversary this year in November, in 20 years. RistoranteLucano.com. And you can send Joanne and Chuck Formoso, the owners, send them a hug and get a gift card for yourself or to give someone or several, and let them know that you're thinking about them. And it will be in as soon as you can. It's RistoranteLucano.com. Arrowhead Spring Vineyards is in western New York, and they are only an hour and a half west of Rochester. They ship wines, and check out their online. You can check out their vineyards, their new tasting room. They have a wide range of reds and whites, but reds is perhaps where their real passion lies. They've been planting more vineyards with red grapes, and it's a gorgeous setting there. And do a little research online, read about some of the different wines, and perhaps order half a case or a case so that you can sample them and enjoy them over the next couple of weeks. It's ArrowheadSpringVineyards.com, again, in western New York. And finally, brought to you by Rohrbach's, our hometown craft brewer. Their brew pub has decided not to continue takeout. There's too many customers. So you can pick up beer. You can find their beer at grocery stores. And they have all kinds of delicious beer. Just had some Scotch Ale, which is maybe their flagship beer, just a couple nights ago. Rohrbach's.com. You can get gift cards. And again, send John Erlob and his staff a message of support by getting a gift card now and to any of your favorite restaurants, wineries, breweries, etc. That makes a difference. Just a few people ordering gift cards sends them that message that we're thinking about them. Rohrbach's.com for more information. When you call and visit our sponsors, tell them you heard about it here on The Grapevine.
Tiny bubbles and make me happy, make me feel fine. Tiny bubbles make me warm all over with a feeling that I'm gonna love you till the end of time. So
this is The Grapevine on WISL 1040, 92.1 FM. And one of the reasons to order some wine, have it shipped to you, is that there are events like open local wine night, which was last night. And so we opened a couple bottles because there are five here in our family that are sheltering in place and in the city of Rochester. And one bottle just wasn't enough for five people. We had a Cabernet Franc from from Knapp Winery, and the really fantastic combination with this homemade pizza that we made. And one of my comments, and my kids sort of made fun of me for a tagline that was this long. The homemade pizza deserves excellent wine. I've seen a lot of wines referred to as pizza wines, and they're usually really inexpensive, sometimes somewhat sweet, and sort of a derogatory term for the wine, pizza wine. And the tomato sauce on this pizza was outrageously good. Spicy, really great depth of flavor. By far the best pizza sauce I've ever had on a pizza from anywhere, even really, really awesome restaurants that do pizza. The sauce was just so much better. And it really didn't matter what you put on the pizza at that point. It was this great spicy sauce. And so we had the Knapp Cabernet Franc, probably the signature red grape from the Finger Lakes, although a Lemberger is growing / Blaufränkisch. Both are the same grape, just two different names, depending on whether you live in Germany or in Austria. So, but Cabernet Franc is probably a lot more of that in New York State than there is Blaufränkisch Lemberger, and it makes some great wine. Cabernet Franc had kind of a negative reputation 25 years ago. It had a reputation for being kind of bell pepper taste, which was not a good thing. You really don't want a wine to taste like green peppers. And we'll have to interview a couple winemakers to get the full scoop on what's changed. But in general, the wineries are growing the grapes a little bit differently. They are planting them in different places, so they get more ripening. They're doing a lot of different things to a grape like Cabernet Franc than perhaps were done 25 years ago. And it's just fantastic wine. I haven't run into a single Cabernet Franc from probably 30 wineries. I've tasted Cabernet Franc, actually probably a lot more than 30 in the last few years. And you know, at tastings and special events. And I haven't run into any Cabernet Francs that taste like bell pepper, which previously, decades ago, 1980s, I guess, you had to have a really warm year to get these grapes ripe enough to avoid some of that bell pepper taste. And since then, the wineries are spending a lot more money and time in the vineyard, pulling leaves, getting more air and sunlight into the grapes. So ripening's improving. We're also having warmer weather in general, and that really hasn't been a problem with Cabernet Franc in a long time. So there's lots of it available. Many wineries make a Cabernet Franc, and you should go in search of it. Sometimes blended with Lemberger, like Fox Run does, sometimes part of a Meritage blend, if not called Meritage, maybe another brand name from that winery, because if you want to call it Meritage, you got to be part of the Meritage Association and pay a fee to use that name. It's a trademark name. It's the combination of merit and heritage. So it's not Meritage, which often gets used with that pronunciation. It's not a French term. It's entirely created here in the United States, and it's merit and heritage. Meritage. It's a good, I think, a useful idea to have our own kind of Bordeaux blend, which is what it is. It's a Bordeaux blend made here in the United States. We, if you found a really old bottle, actually maybe not even that old. I'm not sure when some of the jug wineries stopped using, red Burgundy on their labels. It probably wasn't all that long ago. Maybe in the 1980s and 1990s they were still using that. Or Johannesburg Riesling for Rieslings. So now you can't use the place name if it's not from that place. And so a Bordeaux blend you can't use on a bottle here. Meritage is what you'll see. And Cabernet Franc often a part of that, along with Cabernet Sauvignon. Talking about Cabernet Franc, one of the wines that I opened last night for open local wine night, also had Saporavi from Dr. Constantine Frank, which was also delicious. And there are a number of wineries, there's several wineries that make Cabernet or Saporavi in the Finger Lakes, but it's growing. There'll be more in the future, I think. McGregor has grown it for many, many years, for decades. Standing Stone has also helped to popularize it. And the Black Russian from McGregor, Saporavi has been a key part of that all along. And Dr. Constantine Frank has been planting more Saporavi. So we had one from Dr. Constantine Frank. And the color was pretty extraordinary. The Saporavi grape is known as a black grape. When you take a Cabernet Franc grape or a Lemberger Blaufränkisch grape, or for most red wines, when you crush the grapes, you get mainly a white juice. The grapes are white inside, and the color comes from the skins. So they leave they crush them and leave them on the skins to extract the color from the skins, and hence you get a red wine. If you didn't do that, you would have, it might not look just like a white wine, but just a very small tinge of pink for most of these red grapes. But for Saporavi, it's a black grape. The inside of the grape is dark red in color, and the wine is just so dark, you really can't see through it at all. And it's not one you want to get on a tablecloth or on your clothing. I was pouring this out in the kitchen and bringing it into where we're eating, instead of pouring it anywhere near people and tablecloths and things. So gorgeous dark red wine, and beautiful with this spicy pizza. You could also have gone with, we could have had a semi-dry Riesling, might have been really delicious with the spices on this, but somehow, and with maybe Thai food or Chinese food that's spicy, the semi-dry Riesling is really, really delicious with those spicy combinations. But this red wine or red The red sauce on the pizza was spicy, and just loved it with these two red wines. And we're finally getting some respect in New York State in general for dry red wines. And I've heard fewer people say negative things about dry red wines from New York State over the last year or two. You know, 5-6 years ago, there were a lot of negative comments about it. It's like, the Rieslings are really good. Chardonnay, the white wines are delicious from New York State, but the reds, the Merlot on Long Island, maybe, but people just didn't believe in dry reds from the Finger Lakes, and in particular, Western New York, like Arrowhead Spring Vineyards. People who visited the wineries and been tasting them knew they were good, but there are a lot of people out there who hadn't been doing that and just had, they were sort of going on the their older impressions that reds from New York State were not worth it, not worth purchasing. And they are fantastic. They really are. And there are some that are really rich and tending a little bit more toward something you might have from a warmer climate like Australia or California. But most of them are they're more European in style. Something like Burgundy or Bordeaux, rather than California and Australia, which are very high in alcohol, are, some extreme cases referred to as kind of fruit bombs, just way over the top in terms of fruit and alcohol. And the European wines are more subtle in general, and the Cabernets not as dark in color as some from California, but the color may fool you. You may be surprised at how much flavor there is in a Cabernet that is still relatively light in color. Some wineries will blend maybe a little Saporavi, or there's a couple other grapes that are super dark in color and are used to darken wines in very small percentages, like a couple percent. But that darkens wine, and then it makes people feel like it's going to be a better wine or more flavorful wine if it's darker. So Vincent is one of those grapes that's used to darken other wines in tiny percentages. There's one other too. It starts with a C. I can't remember, but they aren't wines that are usually sold as varietals, although Fulkerson, I think, makes a Vincent if you want to try that. I think they're the only one that I know of that does that. So it's kind of fun to try, but again, usually blended in tiny amounts to make the Cabernets and Merlots and maybe some Limburgers a little darker than they would otherwise be. But it doesn't change the flavor really at all. So let me know if you have some favorite dry reds from New York State. And you can email me, michael@saverlife.com. Again, you can have these shipped to you. Many wineries are shipping, and they can ship all around to much of the United States. So you can send it to family and friends, maybe to boost their spirits, maybe for a birthday or anniversary that you aren't going to be able to attend. You can send them some wine and let them know that you're thinking about them. And throw in some dry rosé. Find some of that. Many wineries are producing it. It comes out generally released around now. As we head into April is often when they're promoting the dry rosés. Several wineries have had them out for a month or a little bit longer. But look for some dry rosé. Gorgeous wine. In France, they don't have to call it dry rosé because people know it's dry. Here, we have been used to blush wines, which are often semi-dry or semi-sweet, or just downright sweet. And so we have to call it dry rosé, which is really redundant in France, but has a long history of great dry rosés in Provence and other parts of France. And now it's grown quickly as a category here, and so there are probably 60 to 70 different dry rosés from the Finger Lakes alone. Some wineries producing a couple of them with different varietals. Almost all of them are vinifera grapes. Many of them are Cabernet Franc or Pinot Noir or Blumberger, but there's a few out there that are Zweigelt or some more unusual vinifera grapes. So look for dry rosés and include that in a shipment to yourself, maybe, or in sending it to family or friends. It's a fantastic food wine. And the color is beautiful. It really is. In the next hour, we're going to talk to Chris Carlson. He is the spiritual advisor. He is not in a religious sense. He's an expert in spirits and does a lot of writing, consulting, and things in spirits. And he's been involved in the growth of hand sanitizer being made at local distilleries. So, again, in the next hour, we'll talk in more detail about that. And it's fascinating how quickly this has changed. Jason from Black Button Distillery posted a few days ago that it was 8 days prior to that point, he had been Black Button and producing bourbon. That was what they've been doing for quite a few years now. And then 3 days later, they had to shut down production and comply with the limitations New York State placed on businesses. And then 1 day later, they learned how to make hand sanitizer. One more day, they made a test batch of it. And a couple days later, they delivered 4,300 bottles of hand sanitizer to Rochester hospitals, doctor's offices, paramedics, postal workers. So that was from his post on March 20th, which feels like a long time ago. But again, in the matter of 8 days, they went from making bourbon to delivering about 4,000 bottles of hand sanitizer, and they were hoping to do about 15,000 this week, and I think they probably have reached that goal somewhere along those lines, and it's been a huge boost of support and safety for people who are dealing in the hospitals with COVID-19. So we'll talk more details about how that happens. How do you make hand sanitizer? I don't mean you. This type of hand sanitizer you don't want to make yourself. There may be some other recipes out there where you can make your own hand sanitizer. This is something for professionals to make, in this case distilleries, the goal is to get through this period when there isn't enough from the major producers. Jason Barrett at Black Button is not trying to put Purell out of business. Purell, like many companies, were caught with a sudden demand, and I'm sure have been working feverishly to try to replenish those supplies. And in the meantime, small distilleries, and Black Button's not that small, actually, but relative to the massive distilleries around the country and around the world, it still is pretty small, and they've helped to fill this gap. And there are a bunch of other distilleries working on this kind of in collaboration with Chris Carlson. So, again, we'll have more details in the next hour. I did get a note back from Dan Mitchell about his 1973, approximately, that's the guess on the date, his pink Catawba grape wine. He found it in an old barn, which that's probably not the best place to store wine. I mean, he wasn't storing it there. He found it. But when you think about, you know, a wine from 1973 going through quite a few winters and summers in an old barn, I don't know how it's still a whole bottle. Maybe someone kept it somewhere a little bit better than a barn. I think it would have with extreme cold, would have maybe frozen. I don't know, there's enough sugar in it. Maybe it wouldn't freeze. So that's the story where the 1973 Catawba pink grape wine came from. Dan Mitchell, by the way, has the Staving Artist business. You can look him up online and see the really cool things he does with parts of a barrel, the tops, the heads, the staves, and some of the metal parts that hold the barrel together. He uses those too. And some really gorgeous artwork, tables, stools, all kinds of small to fairly large things made with the parts of a barrel. So look him up online, Staving Artist, and also collector of old wines that he runs into. We'll be back in the next hour, hour number two of The Grapevine here on WYSL 1040.